listen, I'm going to ask, if you're young or feeling young, can you come and join me at the front here, please?
I want some friends, I want some helpers. I need some folk who are going to come and take part. So if you're up for this, that's great. Either sit on the floor, on the chair, that's good. Have a seat there for a minute, and that's great. Others come and join us. And while you're coming, let me also welcome some others. I gather Martin and Isabel and family are here from Zambia. Used to be at Cambrai a few years ago. Lovely to have you back, and good for me to meet you for the first time. Well, welcome to you. That's brilliant. It's great to see you this morning. We've got some work to do this morning, some things to think about, and we're going to think all about this thing that happened all those years ago when Jesus made a blind man able to see. Amazing, isn't it? I don't know about you, sometimes we hear these stories and we're so familiar with them, we really forget what it was all about. So we're going to do some work together on that. Now, I wonder, if I asked you to say something about yourself which described yourself, what would you say? Can you think of something? And it doesn't just have to be young people sitting at the front here, but something about yourself that you would say. Can you think of anything? Not yet. I mean, it's something like, I'm kind, or something like that. Think of anything?
7 years old.
I'm 7 years old. That's great. That's a really good answer. That describes you, doesn't it? Anything else from anybody else? I'm not going to embarrass anybody, I promise you. But if you want to just help me out. Jen, can you think of anything?
I'm passionate.
Passionate, that's a great one. That describes you. Lovely. One from this side, just to keep it fair. Andrew, are you up for something here?
Tall.
I'm tall. I always wanted to be able to say that, but I couldn't. And Andrew can. It's brilliant. Mary, let me... This microphone... In fact, Steve, do you mind being my runner? Mary Madden, sitting over there. Great.
I'm stubborn.
I'm stubborn. Great. That's brilliant. Okay, well, let's just pause there. We could go on. It would be lovely to hear from more. We'll have a few other things in a minute from people. But this morning, we're starting a series over these summer Sunday mornings in August, looking at and listening to some of the things that Jesus said about himself. So Jesus said, I am, and he said some things about himself. Now, one of the things we're thinking this morning is, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Really important thing. So we've just heard from some of those things, I'm seven, or I'm stubborn, or I'm tall, or passionate, or... I am. And I think it's reasonable to say, if you say I am something, that it should be possible to see the proof of that. So I guess if I really wanted to be sure, I could go with Rebecca, if I was allowed to go to school and find out what class she's in. Is she in the 7-year-old class? Of course she is, because she's 7 years old. If I wanted to find out a bit more, and I'm interested in this one, Mary, that she's stubborn, I want to see and I want to experience to see some of those things that show that Mary is like that. You've got the point of this, I hope. It's a very simple point, but this is, as we get to look at Jesus this morning, Jesus is saying some things, and we want to be people who check that out. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And in a sense, this morning, what we're doing is saying, really? Let's see how, and let's see what that means. Now, as Fiona read it to us this morning in John chapter 9, it's there in verse 5, Jesus said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. If you had a Bible open, and don't worry too much unless you want to look yourself now, but the previous chapter in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said something very similar when he was speaking to all the people. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So this morning, your help, as I say, will be very helpful. And we're going to think about Jesus being the light of the world. Now, here's my next question for you all. In what ways does light help us every day of our lives? Does that question make sense? In what ways does light help us do life? From the moment you wake up and the alarm clock rings and your eyes open, in what sort of ways does light help? Ruthie, shout that one out and to see where we're going. Thank you. That's a good one. Anybody else? Thank you, Roy, to see the beauties of the world, and there are phenomenal beauties, aren't there? Great, the world's a beautiful place, and to see that, wow. Anything else that light helps us with through our day? To read words. Thank you, Paul. And the list goes on. Now, we need the light to even be here. And of course, there are some people who cannot see or can't see very well. And for them, this causes really big difficulties. And we want to try and imagine how hard it must be for people like that. Now, the man we've been hearing about this morning, the man who was born blind, has never seen anything. You imagine that. Growing up, going to school, if you were going to school in those days, and you've never been able to see anything from birth. Here's my next question. I'm going to work you hard this morning, I said that. What would that man that we've just read about not have been able to do that we do almost without thinking? We've said some of those things like reading words and seeing the beauties of the world. But what other things? Let's think of some of those difficulties that that man born blind would have had. Can we think? Steve, let's get a mic out and about. It's good to just get some responses. Let's have Andy in the microphone there.
You wouldn't be able to catch anything like a ball.
Yeah. Thank you, Andy. Good one. What's that, Maria? I can hear you.
Get about.
Get about.
Said into the microphone. You wouldn't be able to get about.
That's right. Thank you, Maria. All those things that many of us just do, we take for granted, we just enjoy, because we have got eyes to see. And it's difficult. When we used to live in Shrewsbury, there was a school for blind children near us, and we would have contact with some of those. And you know, it's an amazing place where they teach these young children as they grow up to be teenagers to do so many things. It's a wonderful school, and there are others like it. But we know from our man in the Bible reading about his life, verse 8, it says he used to sit and beg. You imagine that every day, and all he would do is sit down, hold a hand out and beg. Because that was his life, that's all he's known, ever since birth, as he's grown older. And we try and imagine what that must be like, and it's awful. There's no opportunities to go and get a job like some of us have a chance to. This man who's sitting down side of the road every day, and he can't see anything, and he doesn't know who's going to walk past, and if they come past, he doesn't know if they're going to be kind to him, or kick him, and be horrible to him. How do you think he felt? I'm coming to the front row. If you're like that, how would that have felt to be somebody like that, Izzy?
Scared, because you didn't know what people would do to you. Like,
scared, yeah?
Yeah, scared.
Scared, yeah, you wouldn't know what people would do. Thank you. Anybody else? Does it's good to try and imagine what it was like for people at that time. This man can't do anything to help himself. He's relying on other people to get him places or to show him places.
A bit lonely.
Thank you, Helen. That's a great insight. A very lonely life as well. It'd be horrible, wouldn't it? Especially in those days. Anything else? No. Great. Well, you've said it well, and that's good. And what we discover from here is that through this story, we discover who Jesus is. I know some people are getting to know this Jesus because we know his name, Jesus. But as we read about him in the Bible, we're discovering that Jesus is someone who's always going to people to help them. So that even if other people are horrible, like they would have been to this blind beggar, Jesus comes past this man and he wants to help him. Now, I think that's lovely in a way, especially when we think what Jesus had been through that day. If you read John chapter 8 and 9, we discover that Jesus has had a horrible day. He's been saying to lots of people that he's been talking to that he is God. In a sense, he's saying, I am. He was even saying something that before Abraham lived in this world, Jesus was alive. And some of the people hearing this thought, this is terrible. This is shocking. This is Jesus almost saying that he is God. Of course, we know that that's true. He is God. But so angry were some of the people, they picked up stones and they started throwing them at Jesus. And really giving him a hard time. And I think that's lovely, because when we think that Jesus then didn't just go off and disappear and say, well, I'm going to feel sorry for myself because people have been angry at me. Not a bit of it. Jesus still, because he came to help people, has still got time to stop for a man who's blind and who's begging. And Jesus takes the initiative. And even a bit later in John chapter 9, in verse 35, Jesus once again goes to find this man who he's been able to make see again. Jesus is always taking the initiative, always coming to us, always there to try and help us. And what I wanted to say for my first point this morning, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And if Jesus says, I am something, well, we want to know, what does he do? And we discover here that Jesus has got the power to heal this man, to turn the lights on for our blind man who's begging. That is powerful. I mean, you imagine you've got the ability to do that. Well, that would be amazing. We haven't. We're not God. But Jesus is God, and he's walking this earth. And he goes to this man. Now, do you remember what Jesus did? He spits on the ground. I'm not going to do it here. It's not a good thing to do. All right? But we get something of the incident. There's a crowd and Jesus spits. He gets a bit of the mud and the soil and mixes it around. And then he goes and puts it on the blind man, on his eyes. And then he sends him to go and wash. And then in the reading, as we heard it, as Fiona read it, as he washes at the pool of Siloam, the man can suddenly see. For the first time in his life, this man can see things. The beauty of the world that Roy was just reminding us about. To see people round about and who they were and what they looked like. And you know, I think we're meant to go, wow, what a Jesus this is. Let's not just skip past and say, oh, that's just Jesus, the sort of thing Jesus does. It is the sort of thing Jesus does, but wow, he turns the lights on. For this man, he can help him see. And that's why Jesus came into this world, to help blind people, but to help other people, to show the power, in verse 3 it says, so that the work of God would be seen in this man's life. And I think that's a really helpful thing. Sometimes for us, as we get older, we go through some bad situations, some tough times. We sometimes think, Lord, this doesn't make any sense. God, where are you? And I just wonder sometimes if the power of God can be seen through our life, even through what God has for us and can do. Now, of course, Jesus is proving that he is the light of the world. And that's what Jesus was in the business of doing and is still doing today. Opening eyes. Even when men and women, boys and girls, we're starting to get to know Jesus, Jesus opens our eyes and we can see who Jesus is and why he came, and we believe on him. And we believe he's the light of the world. Now, my second point is this. Jesus, the light of the world, shines light in. So not just shines light on, but shines light in. And I've asked one of our doctors, a doctor in the house, to come and help me. And Dr. Arnold Deering is going to come and just help me with this one. Because, you know, sometimes when we look at people, everything looks fine. But sometimes there's a problem on the inside. And Arnold, you're going to just tell us a little bit about what a doctor has, what sort of light a doctor uses.
Box, I've got something very special. It's a thing I use if I'm looking into people's eyes. I can see the soul, to see looking into your eyes. Is there anybody who would like to come and look at this? On the screen you will see, if I can get the thing correct. Yes. This is what we're looking at. You people at the front have a very good view. Is that nice? Do you like that? Would you like that? Would you like to use that? Ladies at the back.
Yes.
Now, does anybody know what it's called? In my job, I have lots of hard words to learn. That's why we write very badly, because we can't spell the words. So if you do a scrawl that's approximately right, it looks approximately right. Anybody any idea what this is? I'll put it together for you to give you a little bit of a hand. It's got a thing you hold, and it's got something you clip into the top, like that. Anybody any offers? Ah! Do you want to see it? Do you know what it's called? No, I wouldn't think you did. It's called an ophthalmoscope. It means with an eye is ophthalmic. Scope means looking in machine. So if you look on the screen here, you will see ophthalmoscope. And to help you say it properly, say it after me, ophthalmoscope. Now you know what it's called. Now you know what it looks like. Do you want to see what it does? Yeah? Right. Now, looking into a person's eye, you have to get very close to them. Closer than that, actually. Right in very close to their eye. This machine, as it looks here, is boring. There's nothing happening, is there? It's dead. But there's a wee switch here on the side. You turn it on and something happens. A light starts to shine. Now, by using that light, you can look into a person's eye and you can see all sorts of things. Look at this. What you're doing is... which is the laser beam?
The top one.
Not, no matter. What you're doing is looking into the part of your eye that appears black. It's black because inside your eye is dark. But if you shine a light into the eye lights up inside. And what you see, like that there, a flash on a camera, bang, red eye. Nobody likes a red eye. But if you actually use my special machine, the ophthalmoscope, look into the person's eye, that's what you see. Right? Now, this is a normal eye. The red things are the blood vessels. Still doesn't work. Looking at the blood vessels is the only place in the body you can actually look at the blood vessels directly, and you can see if they're abnormal or if they are in any way ill or damaged. This is a perfectly normal eye. Look at most people's eyes here. That's what I would expect to see. Now, using my special machine, looking in a person's eyes, not very healthy. Okay? Can you see the difference between the two? There's red, there's blood down here on the right-hand side in the bottom, on the left up at the in the corner. No, yeah, our little yellow specks, those are called exudates. Something else you can see, there's a very diseased eye. That's a person who's got diabetes. Quite marked diabetes in the eye. And then here's something else. Again, a very diseased eye. So something as simple as this. Using the little light at the front, here you can look into a person's eye and you can tell all sorts of things about the person's medical illnesses. So light is important for us in my profession, in our practice day to day.
That's brilliant. So you're taking appointments after the service? <really? laughs>
Only for large fees.
You doctors. Thanks, Arno. That's great. Really, really helpful. And this is the point which I want to build on, that as Jesus looks at a person, whether it's the man born blind or any of us, he looks into our eyes, not just to see if there is disease or problems with our body, but Jesus looks right in deep to our lives, to our hearts, to our minds. And this is the wonderful thing about Jesus, the great doctor. When Jesus was in this world, he was here to make people well, to touch their lives, to bring about the answer to all their situations. I want to as well think about not just that blind man, but somebody else who wasn't born blind, but a man called Saul, who later became Paul. Now, I know you've done him and looked at him in your youth groups and in your junior church groups. And what happened to Saul one day? He's on a journey on a road called Damascus. And something happened. Can anybody remember what that was? What happened to Saul? It's rather in the theme of this morning. A bright light. Thank you. Maybe we need to do this one again soon in your groups, but a bright light comes upon Saul as he's on a road, on a journey. And we read in Acts that it was so bright, so dazzling, they all fell to the ground, all Paul and his companions. And then Saul heard this voice from heaven. And basically the voice was saying, I am Jesus. Jesus, the light of the world, was shining into Saul's life. Saul, who would become Paul and have a name change because Jesus, the light of the world, was going to change this man's life right around. And I love that story in Acts and what happened to Saul, because as Jesus says to Saul, I am Jesus, the light of the world, Saul discovered the power of God, not an ophthalmoscope, but a searchlight that went on into Saul's life. We know a bit about Saul. He had done some bad things. He had murdered some people. He tried to please God, but in a funny sort of way, a bad sort of way. He'd done all sorts of things he was later to regret. But this searchlight that went on into Saul's life was to reveal what was really there. And then that searchlight was to help Saul sort things out and for Jesus to come and clean him up and forgive him. In fact, Saul, as he became Paul, was made blind for 3 days. And he too would be taken by the hand and shown where to go. And he had a horrible experience of not being able to see. But when God got him there, God started to work in his life. Jesus shines his light in. That was my second point. Now I want to just show you something else, a picture. Anybody tell me what that picture is of? Obvious? It's an attic. All right, it's your loft before the door opens. But let's just see the attic once the door is removed. Next one, please. There you go. And it's not ours, all right? It's not ours, I promise you. I don't know if you've ever been up, if you've got an attic, into the top of the house. But the thing about an attic is the door is often shut and shut tight. And we all carry on living life and just doing our own thing. And then every now and again we need to pop back up there and either get something or try and find something or try and have a tidy up and so on. But attics are funny places and curious places really, where we stash things. And really I wanted to use that as another illustration that Jesus, when he dealt with Saul and Paul, when he dealt with the blind man, when he dealt with me, when he deals with any of us, he comes with his searchlight. His spotlight. Jesus, the light of the world, shines in, even to areas of our life that perhaps we would rather keep the attic door shut on. We don't want anybody to know what's been going on, been embarrassed, maybe things that were very painful in years gone by, and we've somehow just shut that door and we don't want to go there. The lovely thing is that as Jesus shines his light in, he brings life and healing and he helps us. And that's the power of Jesus to shine his light in. What is very interesting this morning, as we thought of just two people, that man born blind and then the Apostle Paul, is that they both got lots of hassle when Jesus started to work in their life. Isn't that interesting? Because sometimes the same happens for us, is we discover the power of Jesus to work in our lives, but actually the blind man who was made to see, he starts having lots of hassle from his neighbours who don't like what's happened and they don't work this one out. They can't really think what's gone on here. And the Jewish religious Pharisees, they really don't like this, that if Jesus is going around making blind people see. And they give a lot of hassle. But here was the point. This man was different. He's able to say, once I was blind, but now I can see. I've met a man and his name is Jesus. And Jesus has changed me and that I do know. And in a sense, it was a really simple thing that he had come to discover. The wonderful power of Jesus shines on our lives and in our lives. And I want to show you something else. In the old days, we used to use films in our camera before the days of digital. All right, do you remember these? Some of us older people, you've probably never even seen some of this, maybe. But what we would do in the old days is put our film into a camera and wind it on. And when we would take pictures, we would take a picture and it would get on there, all in the black, and go through the whole film. And then you took this to the shop, and they went into a dark room and they made pictures out of those images on there. And what would happen if we had cameras like that? What you should never do if you're on holiday taking lots of pictures, you should never open the back of your camera and let the light in. Otherwise, what would happen? Somebody who's experienced from those old days. Roger? Sorry. What would happen if you opened the back of your camera? What would happen to those images? The light would hit in and they would disappear. Thank you, Doreen, as well. And again, it's a lovely picture, this one, is that as Jesus, the light of the world, looks at our lives and he's seen everything that we do, the good things, the bad things, the things that we have stashed up in the attic, as it were, to try and forget. And Jesus shines his light onto the film of our lives, so much so that he just takes it away. It's gone. We sang in one of the hymns right at the beginning of our service, "No condemnation, now I dread." And that's what Jesus has done for us through his light. Through his death on the cross, he's taken our bad things so that the film of our lives can be cleaned up, cleared, and made new. And I think that's brilliant. For me, that is a real big help. because I wouldn't want you to see the stuff in my life, some of it. But we have a forgiving Jesus, a Jesus who makes us all well. So that's what I wanted to say, but I have one last thing. Jesus shines on, Jesus shines in. Jesus also shines ahead. Can anybody guess who would wear that helmet? And it's got a light on the front. Can anybody think what sort of, maybe I've got to come this one. Is there any ideas? Miners, great, yeah, miners. People working underground in the dark, in the mines. Light is a wonderful thing. And what Jesus said to Saul, Paul, as Jesus met him and then changed him and shined his light into his life. Jesus then said to Saul, Paul, I've got a job for you to do. You're going to go and be a light to other people. To the Gentiles was the name given. To people throughout the world. You're going to go and be a light, reflecting the light of Jesus to other people. And rather like Mark was saying to us earlier, as we have the light of Jesus like a mirror shining on us, so then we can reflect to others the light of Jesus. That was the last thing I really wanted to say, that as we know Jesus the light, his light in us, his light using us to be a light to other people in dark places. I dare say that there are friends of yours who are having some really difficult days at the moment. People for lots of reasons who may be sad or scared. We live in a dark world, a bad world. It's a beautiful world, but it's also spoilt by sin. And Jesus, the light of the world, came to show his light and to bring light. And even through people like us, we can be lights to others, pointing and reflecting to Jesus Christ. And so we say, Lord Jesus, shine your light in on us, that we can be lights to the world. Shall we pray that as we finish our time together? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to be lights. Shine your light into our lives, that we won't just look good on the outside, but deep within, your light would show up anything that needs to be dealt with. Bad things, sins, problems, difficulties that need your help. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, as you promised to do. Thank you for your death on the cross. Thank you that you came to take away bad and to replace it with good. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you came to open eyes that even if they're not blind physically, that are spiritually blind, to open our eyes. We pray that you would help us see Jesus. And help us, Lord, as you shine your light ahead of us, that we would shine to be different for other people. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.